Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Birmingham, Michigan, and quit college after 1 year to form DMA International to do direct marketing for financial services companies with $500 of his own money. He built that into a multi-million dollar business and sold it in 2007. A serial entrepreneur, he's also owned a pro basketball team. And he just launched an executive coaching business. His name, Adam House. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Adam House, who's a senior executive, serial entrepreneur, and a former professional basketball player at 6 foot tall. Adam, welcome. A real honor to have you.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can we talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. So I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, moved over to the Detroit area when I was about 6 years old, and, you know, hardworking family. My mom has her doctorate in education, so, you know, it was obviously, you know, a very important, you know, thing for her was to, you know, focus on my education. And, you know, my dad was the ultimate guy's guy, loved, you know, sports and other things, and, you know, taught me a lot about life.
Your parents divorced when you were 11. What's the biggest thing you learned from mom?
Hard work and determination. And it's funny, the name of the show, Anything Is Possible. She really taught me that from a young age. And, you know, it's something I still try to practice every day.
You have a stepdad that you think the world of. What has he taught you?
He's taught me a lot about patience. And, you know, life is, you know, a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, being an entrepreneur and type A personality, a lot of times I like to shoot first and aim second. And, you know, he kind of balanced that out for me.
You've started and built a number of businesses, Adam. Really a phenomenal life and very young. What were you like as a kid?
Depends who you ask, right? So, you know, I was compared a lot to Dennis the Menace. You know, I like to cause a lot of mischief, but I was always, you know, super positive, even had the entrepreneurial bug as a kid. So when I was 10 years old, I was the leading popcorn salesman for the Boy Scouts. I used to go golf ball hunting and then sell all the golf balls to my dad's friends. And then I would even steal them back out of their bags and sell them back to them again. So, you know, it's kind of that blend of, you know, entrepreneurial slash, you know, cutting the corners to make a buck.
All right. You went to Brother Rice on Lasher and you played basketball for them.
I did.
How good were you?
Honestly, you know, I wasn't a superstar, you know, but I was a hard worker and, you know, I loved the game, had a lot of passion for it. And, you know, Brother Rice taught me a lot about life. So I was, you know, a pretty troubled kid when I went there and, you know, they kind of made it, you know, something that people wanted to be successful and wanted to do the right thing. And it had, you know, a huge impact on me just for that time in my life of, you know, my parents getting a divorce. So
while you were still in high school and playing basketball, you went to work for a young guy. Who was it and what happened to him?
I'm not sure if anyone knows Dan Gilbert in the Detroit area. So you know, it was, let's see, my junior year of high school. It was kind of one of those right place, right time. Rock Financial was, you know, right in a rapid growth stage. And they put in a, you know, job posting up for telemarketer. And so my buddy and I were like, hey, let's go down and, you know, apply for the job. Him and I ended up getting it and just got a real passion for business. Learned a lot from Dan and his brother Gary and, you know, some other employees there, and really just kind of set us on a, you know, rapid growth path for, you know, being a businessman.
Paint for us, Adam, a picture of Rock Financial / Quicken Loans back in 1995.
Wow, we're dipping into the archives there, but, you know, they were constantly expanding. So interest rates at the time, I think we were, you know, and again, I was 17, but, you know, in the 80s, interest rates were high. And, you know, as they were coming down, they had developed a program called Mortgage in a Box, which was kind of innovative at the time. You didn't have to go and sit face to face with their loan officer. So they were, you know, FedExing mortgage packages out. People could fill it out and never have to see your banker. And so, you know, just learned a lot at the time.
Why has, other than hiring you,
yeah,
why has Dan Gilbert become so successful?
Well, I think he's a great delegator. And, you know, it's something I had to learn early on in my business career, being type A. You know, I kind of wanted to do everything myself. So when I started my first business, I was in my apartment and I had, you know, five different phones set up, right? So it was extension 101, you know, I was, yeah, accounting, extension 102, you want to talk to my manager? No problem. They were all me, right? So I'm marketing, I'm accounting, I'm sales, operations. So, you know, I try to do a lot myself, but it was really when I started to empower other people that really helped me do the, you know, 10% that no one else can do.
As you've watched him and read about him and seen him over these past 25 years, what has amazed you the most about Dan Gilbert?
I think the number of different types of businesses he's been able to impact and the longevity of it. And even surviving the financial crisis, you know, I mean, they were all in on, you know, the mortgage and refinance industry, and, you know, to survive through that and owning a basketball team and casinos. And I think really his belief in the city of Detroit, you know, they've kind of been talking about, you know, Opportunity Detroit, and we're, you know, for at least 10, 15 years, and now it's finally, you know, coming to fruition.
We're talking to Adam House. When we come back, we're going to ask him how it was he quit college after 1 year. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Adam House, who after 1 year quit college. Why? And what did Mom say about that?
Two interesting questions. So my freshman year of college, I'd met some guys at Rock Financial, and they had called my friend and I that actually, you know, worked together in high school there. And they had left Rock Financial and moved down to Fort Lauderdale. And I was in Kentucky at the time. And they said, hey, can we fly you down here? And you live on the beach and work for us for the summer. So coming out of Kentucky, going down to Fort Lauderdale for the summer, it was, you know, kind of a no-brainer. And while we were down there, you know, it was a direct marketing company, and they had put together a commission plan, and, you know, I think we kind of outsold what their expectations were for the, you know, number of sales per month. And so by middle to end of July, early August, you know, I was set to make, you know, $10,000 to $12,000. So it was a 19-year-old kid living on the beach in Fort Lauderdale and getting a check for, you know, $10,000. I was like, this is too good to be true. And so, you know, as I mentioned, my mom, you know, has her doctorate in education. That was always a big focal point. And so had that interesting phone call of, hey, mom, you know, great news. I'm about to make $12,000 in August, and I'm not going back to college. So if she was able to reach through the phone, she would have and backhanded me. But, you know, I was just kind of set on, hey, this is what I want to do. I love business. And ended up staying down there and worked there for a year and then left. And the rest is history.
Well, Adam, Bill Gates only spent 2 years in college, so it worked out pretty good for him, too. Okay, 1999, you're still in Fort Lauderdale, and you found DMA Incorporated.
Yes.
What did they do?
So we were basically developing statistical models to predict homeowners' current credit situation. So based on, you know, debt to income ratio, home value, income, and basically targeted people for refinances. So we sold the list, you know, to mortgage companies nationwide.
All right. In 2007, you sell it to V12 Group. Why'd you sell it?
Well, I never even thought about selling our business. And in 2006, I hired someone from Qualcomm at the time. And they said, hey, this business is a cash cow. Do you realize, you know, you could probably exit this for a lot of money? And they put the bug in my ear, and a couple of our vendors we had talked to, and they said, hey, you know, we'll look at buying your business. So it was actually pretty interesting. In 2006, we got a cash offer for $20 million. And the company that was going to buy us had a security breach. And so we had a letter of intent, $20 million. And I woke up looking the Wall Street Journal, and I won't mention the company by name, but the stock went from, you know, $38 to, you know, next to nothing. And so I'm sitting there, and I was like, oh boy, this isn't good. You know, a couple phone calls, and the deal fell through. So right around that time was the rumblings of the, you know, financial crisis. And we were approached by V12 Group, and it was like October 2006. You know, they want to see, hey, are you going to hit your numbers? Are you going to hit your numbers? So we did for October, November, December, January, February, March, April 2007. And they finally pulled the trigger. And not 60 days later, you know, we had the financial crisis. So definitely, you know, God's providence and right place, right time.
Oh, then you became the president of the financial services division for V12. You stayed with them for a couple of years, but then the entrepreneurial spirit hit again. In 2009, you started another company.
Yeah, so I didn't have any technology background. At the time, iPhone apps were, you know, really popular, and people were developing apps and kind of becoming an overnight success. And so I found a developer, another, you know, just random story. So at the time when you would go to a website from your iPhone, if it had any, you know, flash coding on it, you would get, you know, just these blue squares, so they didn't work on mobile phones. So I kind of saw that as a problem that needed to be fixed, and sent an email out to my entire database of contacts and said, hey, does anyone know how to build a website? And one guy replies. It was a guy from Detroit that I met at a Miami Heat game, and he said, hey, call this guy Martin over in Naples. So I called him. He's like, yeah, I could probably build that. And within a week, I hired him, and our first 15 customers were all Fortune 100 companies.
And a year later, 2010, you sell it to Acamel Technologies. Why'd you sell it within a year?
It was 18 months idea to exit, and Akamai at the time was trying to get into the mobile space, mobile technology, and we had acquired several of their customers. So they kind of went through the build versus buy scenario. And since we already had a good technology and were working with some of their customers, they flew me to Boston and said, hey, we want to buy your company.
Not only did you make a lot of money in Fort Lauderdale and get a great tan, you also outkicked your punt coverage one day when you married Vanessa from Miami. And then you convinced her to go to Boston. Okay. All right. But you're 31 years old. You're 6 foot tall. You're married. And you decide to become a professional basketball player. Maybe your mother understood, but what did you say to Vanessa?
So, several things there. Number one, Vanessa actually did want to move to Boston. She was, you know, done with Miami in the heat, which actually sounds pretty good right now to me. I love the beach. I think we were both born in the wrong places, right? So she loves the cold weather, and I like the beach. So the way I got to the pro basketball idea was after, you know, I did my year earn out at Akamai. Vanessa was like, hey, you've been a CEO since you were 19. Why don't you do something you love? And so, of course, I'm in Boston. Everyone's doing the Ironmans and the triathlons. And, you know, so, you know, like with the running, I had no problem. With the biking, I had no problem. I got in the pool, swam down and back. And I was like, this is not for me, right? So I'm a land animal. And, you know, I had another day where, you know, I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to do the triathlons, I got to get the gear, right? So I buy these, you know, tight pants and a bike helmet and, you know, the shirt and the whole thing. I look in the mirror and I'm like, who are you right now? You know, so looking at the training schedule, I was like, well, you know, if I put that same amount of effort into pursuing basketball, you know, I could probably make a minor league team somewhere. So for 6 months, you know, ate the perfect food, worked out, you know, 5 to 6 times a week, and went to a combine in Dayton, Ohio. And there were 40 guys there. And when I say guys, 40 kids, right? I'm the senior citizen in that park. So so out of the, you know, 40 or so guys, they selected three of them. And I happened to be one of the three. And so I went to the camp in Rochester, New York. And I think there may be, you know, 22 or 23 guys in the camp. And ended up making the team. So I said, hey, great news, Vanessa. I did exactly what you wanted. You know, and we had just bought her dream home in Brookline, just outside of Boston. It was like a 1920s Victorian home. She had spent 6 months decorating it exactly how she wanted it. And I said, we're moving to Rochester, New York. And, you know, she followed me and we did it. And so I did a year of pro basketball.
All right. You're 33 years old. Your teammates are 19, 20, 21 years old.
Right.
From the inner city. How did you ever relate to those teammates? Some of which were not even old enough to vote.
That is true. You know, growing up in and around basketball, you know, I've always been able to relate in that environment. I was also chaplain for the Miami Heat when I was in Miami. So, you know, just kind of understanding the game of basketball, and I guess I'm a likable guy. Depends who you ask. But, no, it was interesting. I mean, we'd get done with practice, and they'd all be going to, you know, play Xbox, and I'm like, I have three kids and a wife at home, you know. So, but, no, it was a great experience. You know, loved the team. It was a great organization. I had a, you know, strong desire for winning and excellence, and I think at the time they had won 4 or 5 championships prior to me being there.
When you were playing in the game, 33, in this minor league pro basketball, what was the trash talk like by the opposition?
I don't know. I think they left me alone a little bit. Probably like, you know, it was interesting. I didn't know what to expect kind of coming into it. Like, hey, who's this, you know, rich white guy coming on the team? But I think a lot of the guys respected my work ethic and really to do what I did. I mean, it's, you know, one of my greatest accomplishments other than, you know, married and having, you know, four boys. But it really was, you know, just a great experience.
We're talking Adam House, by his own admission, 33 years old, a rich white guy. So what else do you do? But you buy the team. When we come back, we'll talk about that chapter. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisula, with Adam House, who, Adam, you go from being a 33-year-old player on a pro basketball team, and then one day you decide to become a co-owner of that team. Did you take your mom and Vanessa out for a dinner to make that decision, that announcement? How'd that go?
Well, like I told you, I like to shoot first and aim second, which isn't necessarily great for marriage. But after 18 years, I'm getting the hang of it. So they had found out my business background after I'd made the team. And the owner called me and said, hey, you know, we could use a guy like you to help us, you know, grow the franchise. And because practice ended at 10 a.m. and I had nothing else to do the rest of the day, I was like, sure, I'll jump in. And ended up signing a deal with Nike and a couple, you know, sports nutrition companies. But, you know, it was basically during the same year. So I was player and co-owner at the same time.
In 2012, you're a co-founder and CEO of Qualmetrics.
Another great story. One of my board members from Velocitude had said, you know, hey, you know, I know you've stepped down from basketball. We had just moved back to Florida. You know, I met this doctor. He's got an idea for a healthcare analytics company, but doesn't have a technology background. So I went and met with him at lunch, literally shook hands in the first meeting. And we had put together an analytics platform to help healthcare companies reduce cost and improve the quality of healthcare.
Okay, jumping ahead to 2016, you decide to come back to Detroit. Adam, why?
It's a great question. I ask myself that a lot, especially on days like
today. When we haven't seen the sun in the last 2.5 weeks,
right,
Adam.
Right.
Why?
Why? So I have, you know, I mentioned before, four boys, and when we were in Boston, my oldest decided to take skating lessons. And, you know, I only played hockey up until sixth or seventh grade, but I knew, you know, what that entailed. A lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of trips. And I never thought he would stick with it, but I said, all right, son, let's do this. And, you know, the rest is history, really. He fell in love with the game, even when we moved back to Florida, and his brothers all followed suit. So as he started to get better and better, we kind of saw where this was going, you know, seeing 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, you know, moving away to live with other families. And I told you, Vanessa loves the cold weather. She loved it when we were in Boston. And she said, hey, why don't we move, you know, back to Detroit? So we flew up here, ended up getting Adam into the Total Package Hockey Academy, TPH. And it's one of the elite, if not the elite, hockey school in the country. And they took Adam in. And in 3 years, he's become, you know, one of the top players in the state.
We're talking to Adam House, who is a serial entrepreneur. Speaking of which, the most recent initiative is an executive coaching business.
Yeah, so, you know, as we've talked about for the last, you know, 20 years, I've built a lot of different businesses, a lot of different industries, and I feel, you know, I have a God-given gift to you know, see opportunity and take advantage of it and, you know, grow companies. And so kind of this next, you know, 10 to 15 years of my career, I want to help empower other people, you know, to fulfill whatever visions they have, remove the barriers. And I certainly wish I had, you know, someone like me 20 years ago when I was starting my first business, just, you know, someone that had been there and done that probably would have saved me a lot of heartache and challenges.
If there's a person listening tonight that says, I believe I want to start my own business, what would you say to him or her?
Just do it. You know, like, I'm stealing Nike's, you know, slogan, but, you know, you have to just believe, you know, and again, the show, anything is possible. You know, a lot of people are their own worst enemy, you know, so having the right mindset and just believing, and, you know, you're able to do a lot more than you think you can.
Somebody listens to your stories and says, it's magic. This guy's like a Tom Brady, starting businesses. Have you had any setbacks, Adam House?
I have. So my most recent business was prior to the coaching. We were starting to sell products on Amazon, and I had never done that before, consumer product. And, you know, it was tough. We got into a nuclear war with a toothpick is kind of what it felt like. I mean, the amount of budget that the companies we were competing against had, you know, and I even fell, you know, prey to, you know, chasing, you know, shiny objects. You see online, everyone's got their, you know, five-step plan to sell on Amazon and become a millionaire. And when you get in it, sometimes, you know, like I said, anyone's susceptible. So that's another reason, you know, I started the coaching business is, you know, there is no magic. You know, it's mindset, it's following a process, and, you know, believing in yourself and believing anything, you know, is possible, you know, is 90% of the battle.
Our lives are chapters. And when we had breakfast a month ago, you said one of the chapters of my life right now, Jack, is giving back.
And that's definitely, you know, my parents, you'd ask me, you know, kind of what they instilled in me. And that was another thing I always remember about my mom and, you know, my grandfather. They were always giving people. So if it was the lady at Kroger, you know, my mom could tell she was having a bad day, you know, hey, here's $20, go have lunch. You know, it was just something they instilled in me. So, yeah, I remember going to my first charity dinner, you know, with Vanessa. It was for the Sheridan House Ministry in Florida. And it was for, you know, parentless children and their foster children. And, you know, I got pretty moved by the speech and, you know, wrote a, you know, several $1,000 check. And she just happened to look over and she's like, you know, do we have that kind of money? And what are you doing? You know, so, but I've always stretched myself in terms of giving financially. And now I've, you know, I'm really focused on giving my time. And that's, you know, one of the main drivers of the coaching business is, you know, giving my time to other people.
Speaking of giving your time, when you're back in Miami, you are a board member of Christian Community Foundation of South Florida, the largest Christian grant-making foundation in the world.
Yeah, so when I was in Fort Lauderdale, you know, God showed me a lot of favor, kind of like, you know, working for a Dan Gilbert here. I got connected with Wayne Huizenga, you know, obviously founder of Blockbuster AutoNation and, you know, many other things, Wayne Huizenga Jr. And he had just started, he was on the board of the Christian Community Foundation, which is a subsidiary of NCF, National Christian Foundation, and just had, you know, a good relationship with him, and he was, you know, a mentor for me, and, you know, just being a part of the Christian Community Foundation really connected me with some good businessmen in the South Florida area. And, you know, they were focused not just on money, but marriage and family. So it was great to be a part of it.
We're talking to Adam House, and he says that God has blessed him greatly. We're going to go back, when we come back, to November of 2006, when God gave him a message. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Adam House, a serial entrepreneur and a former professional basketball player. Adam, let's go back to November 2006. What happened?
So at the time, we had just had our first son, Adam Jr. And, you know, I talked about my parents having a divorce when I was 11. You know, and at the time, you know, my mom remarried a saint, my stepdad. He came in and loved us as his own. And, you know, it was just a rough child, you know, time in high school, just dealing with, you know, my dad kind of living in the same area, having a stepdad, you know, coming to sports games, just dealing with, you know, the tension, like, okay, this is my mom and this is my stepdad, you know, this whole, you know, how that all plays out. And, at the time, when I was 19, you know, I had a lot of anger towards my dad, and, you know, I was going to church at the time, and, you know, I had this, you know, epiphany, like, hey, you need to, you know, forgive your dad. So I wrote him this long letter and said, hey, I believe in God, and this is how our relationship's going to be, and I forgive you, but, you know, had all my conditions to it. So I expected him to call me and say, hey, sure, I'll do whatever. You know, it was just crickets. Didn't hear a word from him. So showed how, you know, he thought about it. But, you know, long story short, when we had our son, and just, you know, I felt, and again, you know, God, you know, spoke to me in whatever way. It wasn't, you know, an audible voice or from a cloud. It was just, you know, something I knew. It was like, Adam, you have a lot of hate and anger and unforgiveness toward your dad. So no matter what you said to him or wrote to him, in your heart, you have judgments towards him. And if you don't fix this, it's going to carry forward into, you know, your life with your own kids. And I was just blown away by it. So I called him, told him I loved him, told him I forgive him for everything. And, you know, now being a parent, of four boys, you know, and just imagining if I would have, you know, kept that unforgiveness and hatred towards him, you know, I could see how, you know, that would carry forward. So he passed away in 2010, but we were able to have, 2008. And so it was shortly after that time, you know, we got some good time together, and then he just dropped out of a heart attack in the driveway.
At this point in your life, you believe you have four pillars: family, entrepreneurship, health, and faith. So we've talked somewhat about family, entrepreneurship, and faith. What about health?
Health, it's funny. So it's always been an interest of mine. You know, even in high school, you know, obviously being an athlete, you're, you know, very focused on what you eat and how you eat and, you know, the fitness aspect. But I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, you know, about the mental health, which I've, you know, neglected, you know, kind of in the past, of just, you know, taking that time to, you know, make sure you're healthy, you know, mentally also.
It's obvious you've always been able to dream big. Where do you get the courage, or how do I get the courage, and how do I learn to dream big, Adam?
Like I just said, the mental health, it's mindset. People are their own worst enemy. And, you know, if you believe that you can do anything, I really believe it is possible. It's just, you know, a matter of time. If, it's not good, it's not God, it's not over is kind of what we, you know, say in our house. You know, if it hasn't reached where you want it to be, then God's not done with it yet.
For most people, change is great for everybody else. But I want steadiness, you know, I want constancy. You seem to thrive with change. And in today's world, the only constant is change.
It's funny. I actually talk about this with Vanessa. She's like, you actually like conflict. Like, you like to argue, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, you know. So I have a very hard time, you know, with the status quo, which, you know, can be a great blessing, but it's also, you know, can be a challenge at times, kind of, you know, works against me as well.
A lot of people that know you admire you for a lot of reasons. Who do you admire?
Let's see. I haven't really thought about it. So, you know, I admire, you know, people that can, you know, stand the test of time. Because I think time reveals all things. So, you know, we have, you know, some mentors in our marriage. They've been married for, I think, you know, close to 50 years, you know. That's really who I admire, is people that can make their marriage last, honestly, if I had to, you know, give one answer. But, you know, standing the test of time is another one.
What dreams or goals do you still have, Adam House?
My dream right now is to empower other people, and, you know, with my coaching business, I believe strongly that I have a lot to offer, and, you know, experience you can't really buy. You can't read it in a book. You know, it's accomplished through life, and that's really, you know, what I want to share with other people.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
Just keep believing and keep working hard. And, you know, like I said, if it's, you know, not where you want it to be, it's not over yet. You know, I've had so many challenges in my life. It, you know, it sounds great on paper, and but there's definitely, you know, some ups and downs and sleepless nights and distress. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into, you know, the end result of, you know, what's in your biography.
Adam and Vanessa and the four sons, welcome back to Detroit.
Glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.